Yeah.
It has truly been a blessing being here with you all. We truly feel at home. You've been very kind. We appreciate the fellowship. We appreciate your pastors. And what a true blessing it is to know them. And enjoyed that singing. That's good. That'll preach right there. That type of preaching is hard to ignore, amen? We'll be in Mark chapter 4 for just a little while tonight, this afternoon. I'm going to start someplace else, though, if that's all right with you. You all can stay in Mark chapter 4. Hebrews 4:12 says, "For the word of God is quick and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart." The preached word of God is a powerful force. And as it says in Titus 1:3, God has in this time manifested his word through preaching.
Amen.
And when you want to see God manifested, you got to be where his word is being preached. You can worship God on a hilltop. That's right, you can.
Yeah.
Out in the woods.
Yeah.
I do every time I go out with my gun or my bow. But I'm telling you what, there is nothing like being under the preached word of God.
That's right.
Truly, rightly divided.
Amen.
Now, sometimes that preaching is hard to take. Sometimes you walk out with bruised toes. Sometimes you walk out battered and bruised. I've been there. Limping back to the car thinking, "Lord, thank you. I never even knew that was in me." When was the last time the Lord reached deep down into your heart and dug up that fallow ground?
Yeah, come on.
You know, one thing that we can often get used to is hard preaching. We know pastor's coming up with some authority. And we know he knows the word of God in and out. We're thankful for that.
Amen.
But sometimes, when that plow goes over you time and time again, we can allow our hearts to become calloused to the preaching.
That's right.
And so in Mark chapter 4, we see a man who was going out to sow. And that sower was the preacher. And we see that Jesus is expounding on it later on. And he says, "The sower soweth the word." And you have a faithful sower in this church, and you need to thank God for him.
Amen.
And you need to pray for him constantly.
Amen.
All of our prayer failures, or all of our failures are prayer failures, it's been said. And whenever a man of God fails, and I have some level of influence in his life, I feel like it's partially my fault. Because I'm not praying hard enough. Would to God that we would all be praying for our preachers.
That's right.
All around this nation, we have faithful preachers who are sowing the word. Not just Sundays and Wednesdays or whenever their middle week service is, but day in and day out. We were talking today, just after the service, about much of the preaching that goes on outside of the pulpit, outside of these walls. I believe that's our biblical example. Amen. And here we see in chapter 4 of Mark that we can sometimes become callous to the preached word of God. We're going to start in Mark chapter 4, starting right in verse 1. "And he began again to teach by the seaside, and there was gathered unto him a great multitude, so that he entered into a ship and sat by the sea, and on the whole multitude was by the sea on the land." Now, I have to always mention this when I'm here because I love our Lord and I love how clever he is. Do you know why he got in a boat? Because sound travels really good across water. I've been on Lake, the Kauneski Lake. It's maybe half a mile wide at the farthest. And in the evening, when it's quiet, you can hear somebody talking on the other side, just like I'm talking to you now. All right? The Lord was using that. He was speaking to hearts. In verse 2, it says, "And he taught them by many things by parables, and said unto them in his doctrine." Oh, there it is. You know, this is a rabbit trail that it's some meat in it, but I'll kill it real quick. There's a lot of churches today that say we shouldn't preach doctrine. Doctrine divides. Before we go tearing down walls of doctrine, we need to figure out why those walls were built in the first place.
Amen. That's right.
And our Lord used doctrine.
That's right.
Amen? That's why we preach doctrine. Back into the scripture. Verse 3, "Hearken, behold, there went out a sower to sow. And it came to pass as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and the fowls of the air came and devoured it up. Some fell on stony ground, where it had not much earth, and immediately it sprang up, because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up, and choked it, and yielded no fruit. Another fell on good ground, and did yield fruit that sprang up and increased, and brought forth some 30, some 60, some 100. Let's ask the Lord to bless his preached word this afternoon. Father in heaven, we do thank you again for this time. Lord God, you've been good to us today. Lord, you've met with us, and that is an honor and a privilege that goes beyond any words that I could possibly say. So know my heart, Lord, and that we are thankful. But Lord, we ask you again to meet with us through your preached word. Anoint my lips by your Holy Spirit's power, that only that which you would have to hear would be heard, and that which is only from my flesh would pass from memory. Lord God, hide me behind the cross as I seek to preach your word here today. And Lord, speak to each and every heart in this room, mine included, Lord. And we thank you for it. And in Jesus' name I pray, amen. So this man goes out to sow, and we see here four different types of ground. There was some that just fell right by the wayside, and I'm sure you're very familiar with this passage, so we don't need much explanation as far as that goes, but the wayside is beyond the prepared ground. That's off to the side where maybe even a hard-packed path that the farmer would walk past, or maybe it was the road where the carts would drive, and there's no way anything is going to come up there, but it's in the open, and it's out away from the field, and the birds come, and they devour it up, and it's taken right away. And then there was the stony ground, and this ground had been prepared to a certain extent, but there were rocks, and there were stones, and there was hindrances to growth. And there was just some things that were going to take a little bit of root, but they just were not going to be able to come and take deep root. And verse 6, we'll expound upon that in just a minute, but they would spring up really quick, and then they would die away. Now the third ground is among the thorns, and this is ground that may have been prepared at one point in time or another. It had been plowed up, it had been dug up, but it hadn't been tended. It had not been maintained. And if you let a garden grow, anybody in here a gardener or a farmer? Ever had a garden? Ever tried to, okay? If you don't keep up on those weeds, I'm telling you what, if you don't get those roots, what happens? If you just cut the grass off at the top, what's it going to do? It's going to grow back, yeah. You got to get those roots out. Root of bitterness. Amen. I think that's all we need to go there. Holy Spirit, take it from there. But I think that's one of the thorns that we have the most in our hearts. Bitterness. Another fell on good ground, and it yielded fruit. Now, each and every one of these four are in this room today. Each and every one of these four grounds is a heart that the Lord deeply desires to take deep root and to yield fruit. Where is your heart today? Perhaps you are this morning. You are that good ground. The Lord has plowed you. The Lord has pulled those weeds. He has shaken those rocks out of the dirt and the soil. And he has dug up that foul ground, which is that ground that has not been dug for years and broken up. And maybe his word is deeply rooted in your heart, and you respond properly to the preached word of God. And maybe you only think you're there. Maybe you've pulled those weeds, but you've only gotten on the surface. What about below the surface, where your foundation is? You know, you can't see the foundation of this building below the ground. But we know it's there because the building doesn't fall.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And sometimes you can only know a person's true foundation is when the earthquake comes and they're the only building still standing. Because they were founded on the Word of God. Firm foundation. How firm a foundation. I love that hymn. But now, where are you this morning? This afternoon it is now. Where are you at? One thing that we see here is that it is important to keep our hearts soft to the preached word of God.
Amen.
There are a couple of cases throughout God's word where people responded properly to the preached word of God and people responded improperly. One of my favorites is Nicodemus. Nicodemus, in John chapter 3, is where we first see Nicodemus. And I'm telling you what, the Lord rebuked him hard. He did. He sure did. We see in Nicodemus, he's going over these spiritual matters, and Nicodemus was so caught up in the traditions of Pharisaicalism. I don't know if that's a word, but I said it, so it's a word now. All right? He was so caught up in this that he could not see the spiritual truths that the Lord was clearly laying out to him. One thing that I love to do in our children's church is preach John 3:16. Not only because it's the gospel in a nutshell, that is the gospel right there, but you ask them, okay, who said that? John? Maybe Peter? No, it was Jesus that said John 3:16. Who did he say it to? Nicodemus. All right, and then we get into the account, and it's a wonderful time seeing their understanding clearing up on this. But he says to him, art thou a master of Israel and knowest not these things? Nicodemus, you should know this stuff. You've been around my word long enough, and there's enough in that Old Testament that you should see me. And you don't know these things? But later on in the book of John, we see Nicodemus almost standing up for Jesus Christ. There's a discourse going on amongst the Pharisees, and he says, now, wait a minute, maybe we ought to think twice before we just lash out at this fella. And in the third place, you see Nicodemus, it's when he's carrying the body of Christ. That's a man that responded properly to preaching. He allowed it to enter deep and to change him from the inside out. In far too many churches today, we are seeing whited sepulchers. People who can walk the walk and talk the talk, but there is no life in them. They are still dead inside. And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. If he's quickened you, it's going to show on the outside. But unfortunately, we can see some outside changes before there's any inside quickening. We need to be cautious of that. But I'm talking specifically today in Mark chapter 4 about God's word getting deep within you and taking root and bringing forth fruit. Now, fruit is what you see on the outside of the tree. Fruit is what you see on, other than possibly a potato, which you dig up and you'd eat the root, all right? But I'm talking about fruit. When that root is deep and when it has good ground and when it has good soil and it has good nutrients and it's been watered and it's been tended and it's kept the grubs away and it's been kept the birds out of it and you've gotten all the rocks away from it so the roots have free rein to go and there's pruning been done on the tree. You don't want any branches that are going crossways. You don't want any branches that are going straight up saying, hey, look at me, look at me. I want all the sunlight. No, you cut that one out and the rest of the branch will give out a lot of fruit. That's what God's word does to us. It will come to you and it will prune you. It will show you where God is saying in your heart, you are wrong here, change. You are wrong here, change. You are right here, strengthen. You can never get under God's word that is preached properly and walk away and not have it do something to you.
That's right. That's right.
It will either enforce what you've been doing or it will chasten you where you have not been doing. There is something that you can glean out of every time this book is open in front of you and preached with authority and rightly divided. And praise God that you have a church that you can sit under the rightly divided word of truth. This ground is something that each of us deals with. How do we keep our hearts soft? Well, we resist Satan. James 4:7. Submit yourselves therefore unto God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Continuing on in Jesus' example, verse 14 says, he expounds upon this and explains it all. The sower soweth the word. And these are they by the wayside, where the word is sown, but when they have heard, Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts. These are the ones that hear the preached word of God, but they're so buddy-buddy up with the world and with Satan that he's right there and he can snatch it away as soon as it's in there. Friendship with the world is enmity against God. Where's your heart in that? You can't mingle with the world. You can't lay down with pigs and not stand up and not smell like pig sewage. You can't be out in the world messing around with the world's things, looking at things that you know are wicked, doing things that you know displease God, and then come in here on Sunday morning and say, okay, Lord, I'm ready to get cleaned off again. Satan's right there in your ear. He wants nothing more than to destroy your life. 1 Peter 5:8 depicts him as a roaring lion, walking about, actively seeking whom he may devour. One thing that's interesting about Aklavik and the Arctic North is they have wolves up there. These wolves are the size of this pew right here. Dogs that big, that hunt in packs of 8, 12, 15. Mr. Ruggles is nodding his head, you know. All right? And these wolves will literally devour a caribou till there is nothing left. Eat its nose off of its face because there's meat in there while it's still alive. Eating all the meat off the flesh, devouring everything till it slowly, just for lack of not having anything left to it, is destroyed. That is the picture that God gives us of Satan. He wants to slowly and painfully destroy your life. He wants you to live in defeat. He wants you to curse God to his face, to blaspheme his word with your lifestyle. He wants to do everything that he can to render you ineffective for the kingdom of God.
That's good.
And he is very wise. He's been at this a long time.
Yeah.
And you think you can mess around with the music you've been listening to? You think you can mess around with those friends you've got? You think you can mess around with the things you've been watching on television and not think that he is planting seeds of doubt and discord and hatred in your heart towards the things of God? Wake up. That's what Satan wants to do. That's a harsh rebuke, I know. I understand, I'm a guest in your house. But God loves you, and I love you. And he wouldn't have warned us.
That's right.
If he didn't want us to know.
That's right.
Properly responding to the preached word of God. These are they likewise which are sown among stony ground, on stony ground, who, when they have heard the word, immediately receive it with gladness, and have no root in themselves, and so endure for but a time afterward, when affliction or persecution arises for the word's sake. Wait a minute, preacher, you're saying that if I sit and I listen to God's word preached, and I let it change me, that I'm going to be persecuted because of the word? Yeah. All who would live godly in Christ Jesus suffer persecution. We talked about that word shall this morning. It will happen. My question for America today is, where's the persecution? Why are we not being persecuted? Because we're not willing to live godly in Christ Jesus. The comforts that we have in America today as a Christian nation are unprecedented in history.
Yeah.
There is no reason the church in America should not be suffering the same fates as in China and in India and in Pakistan. There's no reason the government shouldn't be beating down this door, proclaiming that we are all under arrest, and they're going to kill your pastor, and they're going to torture him and kill him. No reason. But by the grace of God. We think of Sodom and Gomorrah and the destruction that happened there. Yeah, there was a man interceding. And he went down the number. If there's this many righteous, if there's this many righteous, if there's this many righteous. Yeah, absolutely. You know, the reason I think that God has held his hand of judgment on America is because we still have men pleading for America. God's hand of judgment has fallen on America to a certain extent. But the reason that we are not in the same state as Pakistan right now is because there are men and women across this nation pleading for God's mercy on our nation.
Amen.
And we need to continue that. We need to be continually under God's word being preached so that we can know that we are a blessed nation and that we need to continue to pray for our nation. Pray for our leaders. Pray President Trump gets saved.
Amen.
You know, you think about, I've got time to talk about this. You think about the Apostle Paul. Do you think anybody leading up to his conversion would have thought that Saul of Tarsus would have led the world in the greatest revival it's ever seen? You talk to a first century Christian who was living at that time. Saul of Tarsus? Are you kidding me? No, not him. It's possible Barack Obama could still do the same thing for us. That hurts. He must increase, I must decrease. Amen. But they immediately receive it with gladness and have no root. They endure affliction and persecution when it comes up, but they are immediately offended. One thing I want to point out about this is right here, the word is likened unto the sun. The affliction and the persecution is likened unto the sun. What do plants need to grow? Sunlight. Photosynthesis. It's how it works. All right. I don't get how it works with electricity. I don't get it, but it works. That's the way God put it together. Amen to that. So that which should have made it stronger killed it because it had no root in itself. Whenever persecution arises in America, not if, when, how you respond to that is directly correlated to how grounded you are in this book. If you have root in the Lord Jesus Christ and you are firmly grounded in his word, when that persecution arises or that affliction arises for the word's sake, you don't have anything to worry about because it will strengthen you. But if you allow yourself to continue flirting with the world and pretending to play church, I'm telling you what, friend, you are up for a rude awakening. You will be sifted and found wanting. That which should have made it stronger killed it. You know, more gladly will I join my afflictions. And these are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word, and the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the lusts of other things entering in choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful. You know, one way that Satan can get our heart callous to the preached word of God, and unfortunately, I have seen this very personally in the last month, and it kills me to see it.
Yeah.
Lusts of other things. One who was growing for the Lord, one who showed much promise, one who was teaching a Sunday school class, singing in the choir, there was fruit, there was good ground, there was root, and there was fruit, but it was choked because of the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches. How do you look at riches today? I see them as a means to an end, all right? Money is not my God, far from it. I do rank it right up there with oxygen in the society we live today. You kind of got to have it in order to operate. But I'm telling you what, the world wants to tell you that your security is in your riches. You get a good job, a good paying job, then you'll be able to relax a little bit. That'll give you some security so that you can do all these other things for the Lord. That's the lie from Satan. That's what he wants you to believe. My friends, you know what? I am making, and this is going to open up a door into my heart and my life. I am making a quarter of what I was before I went into ministry. A quarter of it. And we have never been more blessed.
Amen.
Because my help comes from the Lord.
Amen.
He's my Father. He knows I need a place to sleep. He knows I need clothes on my back, food in my belly 3 times a day. Why on earth do we think that we need to store up for the month and the years ahead? Give us this day our daily bread. When was the last time you trusted God for things today? Instead of counting on that paycheck that's coming in 2 weeks. I tell you what, you really want to grow closer to the Lord? And please know my heart in this. I am not jumping up. I'll step down here. All right? You want to get closer to the Lord? Get to a point where you need to trust Him minute by minute. Because you have no idea what's going to happen in the next hour. You want to know the blessings of God? Step away from a job that's giving you $60,000 a year and step into, well, Lord, you know we need to pay this bill, and this bill, and we want to be good stewards of what you've given us. You know we need to eat today. Provide. And He does. We walk by faith, not by sight.
Come on.
Don't rely on your job. Don't rely on your riches. Don't rely on your 401k. For crying out loud, don't rely on the government. I'm telling you what, God wants to be that security for you. The deceitfulness of riches is that it will give you hope and security. It will not. It will blind you and it will bind you. The love of money is the root of all evil. Not money. I know a lot of wealthy people who hold it with an open hand. They understand who they got it from, and they are very willingly giving it out. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor with his hands that he may give. Where's your heart today? The deceitfulness of riches, the lusts of other things enter and choke the word, and it become unfruitful. It breaks my heart because I've seen it somebody who was growing and loves the Lord and they had much fruit to their account and it was abounding and there was a burden for souls there and there was a love for God there. And the deceitfulness of riches and the lust of other things pulled in and they just choked her to death. And now she is running at 90 miles an hour away from God. It breaks my heart. Unless we think we are above that, there hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. Look what's coming this week. In your life, Satan's going to flash some riches in front of you. He's going to shake some lusts of other things in front of your eyes. He's going to do everything he can to choke out the word that you read that morning. He's going to do everything he can to choke out that word that you're meditating on during the day. As Pastor Hain expounded upon this morning, yeah, we have responsibilities. There's things you've got to do in your life. But I'm telling you what, you've got to walk in the word. You've got to allow that. The steps of a good man are what? Ordered by the Lord. I love Psalm 37. That's a good psalm. Go home. That's your homework for tonight. Go home and meditate through Psalm 37.
That'll work.
Verse 20, we're going to close with this. And these are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word, receive it, and bring forth fruit. Some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. I want to focus mostly on the fold. Some 30, some 60, some 100. You may have one soul that you can lead to Christ. Steward that with your life.
That's right.
You may have opportunity to be an influence and a witness in hundreds of people becoming born again. But don't look at that other person who's only ever been able to show the way of salvation to one person to the point of saving faith. You know, he wants us all to be his voice. He wants us all to share the gospel. That great commission was given to all of us. As you go into the world, whether it's as you go or go, the word go is in there. It's an action. What are we doing for it? What are we doing with it? But don't let your little success get you shaded and blinded and depressed. And the Lord's just not using me. I remember Reba Dickerson. You remember Miss Reba? We went and visited her one time. Her health was failing. And loved the Lord more than any lady I think I've ever known. Had a burden for her family. Prayed for them constantly. She wrote cards and letters and notes to people encouraging them. And she used to be so very active. And it got to the point where her health was failing, to the point where she couldn't even get out of her room. And she said to us, all I can do now is pray and write cards. As though that was little. I'm telling you what, when you pray, you are tapping an unlimited resource.
Yes.
Make sure your heart is right with God. Make sure there's nothing hindering your prayers. Go according to his word on that. But I'm telling you what, that is tapping an unlimited resource.
Amen.
You've heard some great preaching on prayer just recently. And I'm telling you, friends, that is a blessing. I talk to people that just, they don't know what prayer is even. They don't know that if maybe I'm not standing like this, God isn't even hearing me. I know some people, and good godly people, they pray every single time with their hands up like this, talking to the Lord. Nothing wrong with that. As long as you can lift up holy hands without wrath or doubting. But friends, prayer is an amazing tool. It's one of those weapons of our warfare. Weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but are mighty through who? God, to the pulling down of strongholds. Maybe your heart is in a stronghold of bitterness this morning, this afternoon. Maybe your heart is in that stony ground and you've allowed dirt and rocks to choke out, and that root that you thought was deep is getting choked out. Maybe you're in amongst the thorns. You need to get up out of there and get out of those thorns. You know, running away is not always a bad thing. Retreat is not always bad. Ask Joseph. Maybe your heart here this morning is that you're soft. You know you respond properly to the word of God. He's tugging on your heart even now. And I guarantee you, none of us are exactly where he wants us to be yet. Don't be sitting here thinking, oh, I wish so-and-so was here. I wish they could hear this. Don't be thinking, oh, I hope that guy over there is really listening because, man, I'll tell you what, he really needs this message. No. It's God's word. I'm just a voice. Don't look at me. Look at God's word. Follow me as I follow Christ and see what God has for you in your heart. Because he wants you to grow. He wants that root to run deep. He wants it to be fed and watered. He wants you to flourish. He wants you to bring forth fruit to his glory. And to tie it into this morning, as long as you're doing it for his glory and not your own, he's getting the glory.
Yes.
Allow the Lord to speak to your heart. You're in this passage somewhere. You're here. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is what?
Profitable.
For doctrine. For reproof. For correction. For instruction in righteousness. You're getting the doctrine. Maybe you're feeling the reproof this morning. Maybe there's that correction that you need to make in your life. And I'm telling you what, the instruction in righteousness, how to walk on that correction, is right here. And if you don't know how to wield this sword, get with a man or a woman who does. Go to your pastor. Amen? So where's your heart today? Where do you fall in this passage? I pray that God will bless His word being preached. Thank you for the opportunity. Thank you for your hospitality. Thank you for praying for us while we're up in the clapping. Amen. Pastor.
Amen.
Thank you, Brother Phil. That was excellent. Okay, now we're going to sing either page 38 or 39. Melinda's going to tell us which one when she gets to it. She'll understand, and so will you.
Yeah.